Will you pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Fortunate are those who are able to laugh at something that doesn't quite go right. Seems to be happening more to me lately than it might have. Some look at church announcement loops and bulletins where they find harmless humor that amuses them. Sometimes it's because of typographical errors. Sometimes it's because of words that are missing or left out. Sometimes it's because of sentence structure being not quite right. And sometimes it's just because the person who wrote those lines didn't think about how they might be interpreted. For your consideration, I offer 11 of my favorite bulletin bloopers. You probably have heard some of these. This one, ladies, don't forget the church rummage sale. It's a chance to get rid of things that are not worth keeping around the house. Don't forget your husbands. One church bulletin said, the sermon title this morning is Jesus Walking on the Water. The sermon next week will be Searching for Jesus. Don't let worry kill you. Let the church help. Here's one of my favorites. For those of you who have children and don't know it, we have a nursery in the education wing of our building. The Weight Watchers group will meet at 7 p.m. in Fellowship Hall. Please use the double-wide doors at the side entrance. Remember in prayer the many who are sick of our church and community. The eighth graders will be presenting Shakespeare's Hamlet in the church basement on Friday night at 7 p.m. The congregation is invited to attend this tragedy. Where's our choir? They appreciate this. Eight new choir robes are currently needed due to the addition of several new members and to the deterioration of some older ones. The registration fee for attending the fasting and prayer conference includes all meals. The church prayer group will meet Wednesday night in the church basement. Will the last person out please turn off the eternal flame? And one of my favorites, the peacemaking meeting scheduled for later today has been canceled due to a conflict. Meaning can be really important. So in the scripture that we read to you today, the New Testament scripture, what does Jesus mean when he says, I'm going to bring fire to the earth, not like they have in California in the forests? Most biblical scholars think Jesus was talking about bringing energy and commitment to the calling of the kingdom. While the fire is not a destructive type that he's talking about, Jesus makes it clear that there's going to be some discomfort and some division. Division isn't something that I really like, and I'm not talking about arithmetic here, especially right now in this incredibly divisive political season. My preference would be for all of us to be unified and act in harmony over things that are really important and not worry so much about things that are not so important. I think most reasonable people probably would agree with that. There are very few folks who really thrive on hatred, division, and controversy, although we do see that occasionally. The problem is, of course, that we don't always agree on what is that list of things that are really important. In our gospel reading for today, it may be that Jesus has addressing this particular dilemma in mind. Most of the first part of the reading was directed to the disciples, and the later part about the weather was directed to his followers in general. I'm guessing the disciples must have been pretty confused when they heard this unexpected message from Jesus. I must admit that I am too. When Jesus asks, did you think that I came to bring peace on earth? Well, actually, no. Actually, yes. I'd like to say yes, but we don't have it. Jesus said a lot of things about peace and peacemaking, and I love to preach about unity and harmony among God's people because I think these are values that are really important for the church to promote. On the other hand, I think Luke is telling us that Jesus is making a very important point in the scriptural message today. It is the following. Yes, peace is important, but so is justice. Real peace brings justice. The famous Pax Romana, the Roman peace, you may have read about it in your early days in school. It was during the time of the Roman Empire. It wasn't true peace at all. It may have embodied one of the signs of peace, that is, no war or the absence of war, but this was a short-sighted view of peace, and it led to oppression and harm to many people. In the name of peace, these groups were oppressed. They were kept from full cultural expression. They were forced to use a language that wasn't theirs, and they were even denied the right to follow their religious practices. In anyone's mind, that isn't peace, and it certainly isn't justice. When we promote real justice and thereby seek true peace, we may anger the powers that be. When we seek liberty and justice for all, and when we can't even agree on what kind of justice that looks like, we may find ourselves experiencing division. Jesus certainly found that to be true in his life and his ministry. He was warning his disciples about this, and he was warning us about the perils of the path when we seek justice. Indeed, if we experience pain and divisiveness in our lives, we may be doing that because we are standing up for what we believe is right. So ask yourself the following questions. Will it cause division to stand with those in our dominant society who are seemed unworthy, the marginalized, the poor, the oppressed? Will it cause division to stand against injustice, racism, sexism, and classism? Will it cause division to go out in the world and proclaim the unconditional and unbounded love of God for all people? Most certainly the answer to these questions is yes. So thanks be to God that the love of our God actually causes division on occasion, because some of the things that we encounter are truly worth standing up for. Thanks be to God that the love of our God is so great, it will make us uncomfortable and actually challenge us to take action. Thanks be to God that the love of God is big enough not just to handle divisions, but also to call for justice when necessary. Thanks be to God that we are God's beloved, a group of people who are called to do everything we can to promote fairness and justice in the world. We are called to take a stand and speak out when important values are denied to ourselves and to others. Ironically, there are divisive situations in which we are called to take a stand, and there are also divisive situations that really aren't worth the fight. It may be difficult to know when it's best to take a stand and when to walk away. So how do we know the difference, and how can we act accordingly? If I were to offer some words of advice to all who make speeches these days, and that includes myself, I would turn to the wisdom of an ancient and peace-loving culture. It is a culture that asks us to evaluate several things before we speak and before we risk creating divisions. It goes something like this. Before you speak, let your words pass through three gates. At the first gate, ask yourself, is it true? At the second gate, ask yourself the question, is it necessary? And the third gate, you should ask, is it kind? If the answer is yes to all three, only then should you consider speaking. Let me parse that a little bit for you. If something isn't true, it's likely best left unsaid. Even if you think it might be true and you're not sure, it's likely best left unsaid. You might call this a no-brainer. It will bring much less stress to your life and to your interactions with others if you make sure that what you are saying is true. Today we have more data, more facts and more truths available than ever before. We even have fact-check systems that can quickly determine if what has been said is true. So we must be able to separate fact from opinion. In the words of the late Ambassador Daniel Patrick Moynihan, everyone is entitled to their own opinion, but not to their own facts. This reality has never been more important than it is today. The second gate challenges us to see if something really needs to be said. While that is, what we were thinking may be true, it is not always helpful if we say it, even if it is true. Could it be that a truth left unsaid can be a better way to act when people really don't need to be reminded of an obvious and uncomfortable reality? This concept is called tact. It may be notably lacking in the world these days. This test challenges us to remain silent unless our silence creates more problems than actually telling the truth. There are times when the need is great to state an uncomfortable truth, but there are also times when everyone is better off if we just remain silent. And finally, we must ask ourselves if what we are about to say is kind. Often we can find a way to say difficult things in ways that do not employ unkind behavior or unkind words. For example, directing our comments toward ideas and away from the people who promote those ideas can deflect the feeling that we are persecuting someone for what they believe. Oh, if only the politicians could get the handle on doing that. And yes, as Jesus reminds us in the scripture today, there are times when words will need to divide us. There are things that are true, necessary, and kind that still must be said in spite of the fact that they may cause divisions. In the words of the Irish statesman Edmund Burke in 1770, the only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good people to do nothing. There are times when we are called to speak truths because they are needed and because our silence may create a greater harm. My prayer for each of you today is that you will become advocates for justice that leads to peace. May you have the wisdom to know when to speak and when to remain silent. Let me close today by telling you that we have a way to reduce divisiveness in our church community and at the same time renewing the fire needed to respond to our call. You and I have a unique opportunity to create unity and progress in our church family in the days ahead. Our church has been given, unexpectedly, an unprecedented opportunity to restore and renew itself. Starting August 25th, a week from this coming Thursday, we will be working with the United Church of Christ's New Beginnings program. And you are invited to join the process on that evening when we will have a member of the New Beginnings assessment team with us. You may be wondering if our participation in this program is filled with truth, if it will address real needs, and if it can be done in a way that is kind. I think the answer to all of these is definitely yes. Here are some of the truths about UCC congregations that you may or may not know. Many of these congregations have less than 70 people in worship and are heading for extinction because they are diminishing in size rather than growing. If you count around the room today, I think we have less than 70. Many have significant building issues and are deferring maintenance. Many are spending most of their time struggling with budgets rather than responding to a mission and a vision. Research predicts that if nothing is done, about half of the UCC churches in the U.S. will close in the next 30 years. Ours could be one of these. I would hope not. So what needs to be said and what needs to happen? Well, the New Beginnings program calls churches to choose their own future by taking an honest look at the present situation in light of their vision. This program is designed to help congregations take and make bold decisions about what to do next It's been used by over 1,000 congregations so far. The entire process takes from 6 to 8 months and requires some hard work, but worthwhile work. The process helps congregations to face reality and to gain courage as they undertake a contextually relevant mission. Those are the words of the New Beginnings program. And so we might ask, well, will we be encouraged to act kindly as we answer their questions? Consider the questions. Given our resources, passion, and skills, how do we respond to the question, what is God calling us to do? In answering this question, we will need to consider, what would following our call look like and what would it require us to give up? Will we be challenged to envision what we would look like when we were actually following our call? And finally, we will be asked to think about how the world could be different if we really did respond to the call that we have been given. I believe the New Beginnings program is coming to us at the right time, with the right questions, and with the right challenges. It is an answer to prayer. It is not something that will create discord and divisions, but it is a process that will challenge us to move out of our comfort zones. It will require the same fire of energy and commitment that Jesus was speaking about in our scripture early today. The good news is that it has the potential to create a more viable future for our church, and it will allow us to be more focused on our calling. I invite you to join in the process of envisioning the future. As you do, my prayer is that God will deny us comfort, but grant us the fire and courage to respond to the challenges that we are called to, those things that we are called to be and do. And may all that we do be for the greater glory of God. Amen and amen.